You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
The town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary was who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus and you and me. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. He stayed 2 more days. He delayed. Maybe you've heard that before, but it has significance in this season. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." And the disciples probably scratched their heads. They're saying, "What? What is that about? He spoke from heaven to earth while he was on the earth. And sometimes we don't understand what he says. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Was he asleep? Yes and no. To Jesus, asleep means asleep and asleep. Death is also included when someone's asleep. Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Can Jesus speak plainly to us? Okay, let it be noted online that there were a couple yeses. They could have been stronger, but we're going to go with them. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Again, disciples scratching their heads. What? Why didn't we go 2 days ago? We're going now? Now is the time to go? How does Jesus know what time to move and what time not to move? And wouldn't it make sense to move there if he's, while he's sick, not while he's dead? Think of the disciples and all the questions in their minds. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Sometimes the disciples tried to speak like Jesus, and it didn't work so well. So when Jesus, do you remember during the transfiguration? When, let's make 3 tabernacles up here. Wasn't God's plan to do that, but they wanted to say something. It's better to hear from Holy Spirit what to say than just say something. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And Jesus is excited. Everyone else is sad, mourning, grieving, Jesus is excited. Why? It's time for the glory of God to be shown. But Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Gives you the details. 2 miles away from Jerusalem was Bethany. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. It wasn't just Mary and Martha there. There was a growing crowd of mourners. The situation was mourning, you know, not day and night mourning, grieving. And Jesus enters in excited, I believe. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Was there a hidden rebuke in there? Maybe. "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Oh, Martha, that is a very good statement. However, he's going to blow that out of the water. It sounds like she's speaking in such faith, but he's going to challenge her faith to a whole new level. I love it. He does that with us too. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, again, in a measure of faith, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am." And he tags on, "the resurrection and the life." He could have just stopped with "I am," because he's complete in "I am." But he specifies the resurrection and the life for this particular situation. "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." If you don't know what to say back to Jesus, always say something like this: "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come, and he is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Good idea. If Jesus calls for you, jump up quickly. Run in his direction. Find out where he is and spend time with him. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Do you know what they were doing to comfort her? They wail. They used to wail together. The women would come and comfort whoever the grieving person was by giving extra grief and extra wailing, crying out, mourning with them. That's the atmosphere that Jesus enters into. And now Mary's leaving the house where she should have stayed and just continued to mourn. And they said, "Well, she must be going to the grave to grieve there. We'll follow." So if you had the picture that it was just Mary and Martha at the tomb, there's a crowd at the tomb. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary, again, says the same thing. "We know you have power, and, you know, my brother wouldn't have died if you'd been here." Slight rebuke, possibly. Depends on the purity of their hearts. "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He's bothered by our grief, by our weeping, by our being out of sorts, by our being uncomfortable, by our being challenged by life. Jesus is very sensitive to that. Gracious, merciful, when we're in that situation. And it does say here, Mary is weeping. So the you know, you can imagine the wailing that was going on at the front of this tomb, or at least close to the tomb. They will get there shortly. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Then they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the New Testament, at least. I don't know. I guess it might be in the whole Bible. Two words, shortest sentence, verse. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep if he was excited about this whole thing? Because he cares before he gives the miracle for each of us. He cares deeply about what we're going through before a miracle happens. And he identifies with that in his manhood. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Jesus also might have wept because he just wants them to have so much more faith in who he is. He's the resurrection and the life. He declared that already. And Martha didn't carry that message to Mary, as far as we know. She just said, "The master's calling for you." She didn't say, "The great I am, the resurrection and the life is calling for you." She just said, "The master is calling for you. The teacher is calling for you." We're to carry the miracle message of Jesus. When he speaks a word to us, we need to speak that out with confidence. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. How many stones must God remove before we believe? He removed the stone over Daniel in the in the lion's den account, and Daniel was alive. Jesus' stone in the future here from this passage will be removed, and he was alive. Guess what's going to happen this time when there's a stone that needs to be removed in front of a tomb? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, tomb, and it was a cave, not a tomb. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Remove the stone. That's a clue to us. Anytime Jesus says, "Take away the blockage, take away the stone," it's an indication, miracle coming. Take note, miracle coming. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench." Jesus was speaking spiritually. Martha was speaking naturally. Thank you for all those answers that didn't come, except up here on the stage. Okay, I know they were in your heart. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Didn't I already say to you, Martha? Didn't you take that message to Mary and the mourners? "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" I tried to take you up to the next place of faith. But at this point, you haven't gotten there. But guess what? I'm merciful. I'm kind. I'm loving. I will take you there personally. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Jesus was confident. He was not going to beg his Father for the raising of Lazarus. He already knew the Father's heart, the Father's will. And he just said in front of them all, I know you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus was witnessing his relationship with the Father to the people surrounding the tomb of Lazarus. It was as important of a message as what he's about to do, as the resurrection and the life, that he had communion with his Father. He was being directed by his Father for these amazing things. Then when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. He wanted everyone to hear. Maybe in the next village, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Tonight, Jesus wants to do something for each of us to show his glory. So I hope that you will sing this song with a whole new fervency. Let me put it that way. I had about four words I wanted to say at once, and it came out verve. Fervency, with crying out to him. When you say, show us your glory, you've heard this song so many times, you could just kind of snooze through it. But I challenge you to step up to the new level of faith that Jesus is taking all of us to. Do any of us have the ability to go up there by ourselves? No, he needs to lead us. He needs to show us. He needs to show us his glory, show us his miracles. We need to hear the testimonies in our ears, see them with our eyes, experience them with our spirit rising up over our doubts and our flesh, just like they did back at the tomb of Lazarus. So let's stand tonight here, and if you're online, go ahead and stand. We won't know whether you're standing or not, so I'd go ahead and do it just to step into the moment. We want you to show us your glory. 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 You are the Lord, high and lifted up in glory. You are the Lord, high and lifted up in glory. You are the Lord, high and lifted up in glory. You are the Lord, high and lifted up. You are the King of Kings. Lord of Lords, the great I am, the living Word. I give myself to you alone, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you.
show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. You are the Lord. I am lifted up in glory. You are the Lord, I am lifted up in glory. You are the Lord, I am lifted up in glory. Taking us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. You're taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. You're taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. You're taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Show your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. You are the Lord. Up in glory, you are the Lord, you're high and lifted up. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the living Word. I give myself to you. Taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. You're taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. You're taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. You're taking us from glory to glory, strength to strength. Faith, you're taking us from glory. You're taking us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You're taking us from glory to glory, faith to faith. You're taking us from glory to glory,
Thank you, Jesus, for taking us to a whole new level of faith, to show your glory to us. We cannot see more of your glory if we don't go to the new levels of faith that you're calling us to. Believing in a future resurrection is different than believing in the now resurrection inside of us. The now resurrection takes now faith. Jesus, we need you. We're too weak to step into it by ourselves. But you can inspire us. You can empower us to step into the new level of faith that you want us to go to. Jesus, that shakes the fear out of us. Jesus, that shakes the unbelief out of us. Jesus, that shakes us to our very core. God, that's what we need. Shake us to our very core for our own good. For our own good. If you're truly the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Healer, the Deliverer, then show us that new level of glory, God. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory, Lord. You deserve it. You deserve it. Because you dwell in unapproachable light. And that light can root out the darkness in us, Father. Any little sliver of darkness needs to go, because it will be a hindrance. It'll be a stone. It has to be removed for us to see your glory. It has to go. The stone, the blockage, has to go. It has to go. That's how you break every chain within us. That's how we go to new levels of faith.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's power, oh, in the name of Jesus. There's such power, yeah, in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, remove every stone. There's power, yeah, in the name. Remove every stone. every chain. Break 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 every chain. Every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. I invite you to put your hands up. Let's let God break any chain within us, to remove any blockage, to remove any stone that might be in the way of seeing His glory. Here we are, we're just your children, Jesus. Lead us by the hand to a whole new level of faith. A whole new level of faith. Take away fear. Take away grief, Jesus. Take away fear. Take away grief, Jesus. Take kids, we're learning, Lord, we're learning. We believe in you as the resurrection and the life for the future, God. But now we need to believe in you as the resurrection and the life today. Oh, there's power, yeah, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord, do it in us. We need you, Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
kingdom yours. Is the power yours?
Is the glory forever?
Yours is the kingdom yours. Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. Yours is the kingdom yours. Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thunderings and lightning surround your throne. every sickness. Everyone was healed wherever you went, wherever your feet were. Oh, they fell to the feet of Jesus. Oh, God, the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if only I could touch his hair, then I will be healed.
Precious moment, this holy moment. Father, we believe that you're speaking very loudly to us and clearly. For this is a time, this is the season where you're bringing us into the promised land, a place where we can possess what you said we could have. Father, in this season, in this time, there are so many giants in the land, but you say you are not grasshoppers. You can overcome these giants in the land because I have done it. So, Father, as we think about that tonight, we're believing that any giants that we're facing, any giants in our nation, any giants in our region, any giants in our soul, any giants where we are, Lord, that we thank you that you have told us that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our life unto the death. And we lay ourselves down before you tonight, God, fresh and new. That as we watch this short 5-minute video clip in a few minutes, that we will be wrecked and changed forever. Because it is about what you've done. And it's about what miracles that you have performed and done. And that we can say, yes, I will take that for myself. I will take that in my own heart. I will take that in my own life. So I will be part of those company of people who will possess the land as you're raising up your soldiers, as you're raising up the army that's battling. For you said, the battle belongs to me. But that doesn't mean that we sit back in complacency. That doesn't mean that we just allow things to roll over us, that we stand up and we say, no, not on my watch, God, for this which you've called your overcomers to do. And tonight, God, we're doing that. We're roaring as a lion tonight. For where the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, you say, I have come to give you life and give you abundant life. So I thank you, God, for that tonight. I thank you for the great faith that you're birthing in this hour. And you do that through difficult times. You do that as we're stretched, as we have to face our fears, as we have to face that very giant in our own soul, in the own area of our own land, our own water, that needs your touch from heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of us have incurred much loss. And whenever there's great loss in our lives, the Lord promises that he will bring good out of that loss. As we belong to him, as we say, Lord, we're believing that all things work together for good. For those who love you and have been called according to your purposes. I myself incurred a great loss many years ago on this very day, and I didn't even realize it as I was laughing today. And we said, what's the date today? And it was a big spear in my life, a huge spear in my life. And I've watched the Lord take me from glory to glory and take me through dark times and take me through times that would bring me into a place where he would want me to become fearless. That's what he wants, beloved. He wants us to become fearless, fearless warriors. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And my prayer is that our little ones in this place will be raised up as fearless warriors. And I mentioned it on Sunday, for those of you who caught it. And I highlighted little Everett. I don't know if he saw it yet. But that little man will be a fearless warrior for Jesus, along with his sister, and I believe everybody in here. And the Lord showed me something new when I was thinking about that, because he took me, as Everett's reading Genesis 5, 22, I think, through 24. He's reading it to me out of his new Bible, and he's reading it to me about Enoch and Enoch's life. He's like, what, this kid? What's he doing? And the Lord said, he's speaking to you. Because he's going to be a strong one in the kingdom. And he's going to be a mighty warrior. And we can do no less. Do you understand? As the older ones, we stand in faith. We don't stand and embrace anything that smells like fear. And we don't call something faith when it's not. And that's where we are in this season. Is she angry? Not at you. At the enemy? Yes. But that's a good place. So I am believing tonight, beloved, that we, as we are roaring, and we're going to watch something up here in a minute that's going to change your life. There was something that happened to me 10 years ago that was meant to change your life. I almost passed. And I didn't. Why? I don't know. God kept me here. So here I am tonight, 10 years later. But some of us have had loved ones who have passed, and they've gone through hell on earth. but knowing that the victory and the promise in heaven is for them now and for the future as well. Amen? But what I was going through 10 years ago, the Lord brought to my mind. He brought to my mind this weekend as something else came up, which you're all going to hear about in a minute. So stick around for the 5-minute video. You'll like it. But he reminded me that when I was dying, you know, when you get to the point of death and you know that death is knocking at your door, it knocked the year before and the enemy couldn't take me. Went through a lot. And then the enemy came again and said, that's not working. It's got to be everything that I am against her. So Jesus had to intervene and Jesus had to do something. And he had to do something quickly because he's God and I'm not. And my life was in the balance. And so I've told this, and you know this, some of you. But those of you online are going to hear this part because it's in the video. I don't know exactly what's going to be said. I've seen part of it, and then there was a change. But listen to this. Some of you were in the room. I think Lawrence was in there. Jamie was in there. Andy was in there. Is there anybody else in this place right now who was in that room with me? Pastor Bill was in there. And it was in Ghana North. And it was a suddenly. I like suddenlies that deliver me. But this was a sudden attack that attacked every fiber of my being, attacked every organ in my body. Every organ in my body at the same time. How does that happen? This is not like a progressive thing. So that happened to me. The second year, the year after, I should say, first year, the year after, there was an assault on my life and Pastor Bill's life to remove us as your leaders. And it was tough. And the Lord spoke to me after that and said, more intercession is needed, beloved. That's what he told me. No guilt, no condemnation, no finger pointing, but it's like, okay. Yes, sir. So as I was fading and leaders came in the room and they said, we see her in a coffin. That's pretty intense. We see her in a coffin and we see snakes around her. That's not really fun to hear when you're fading quickly. Many people are taking this seriously and we're in Ghana North. Like a year later? Like what? Didn't we have victory after much suffering? During that season, we did. So we went back and the enemy tried again. So when my beloved husband said, honey, I'm hearing, bring her to me, bring her to heaven. It's like, all right, let's do this. Whatever that means right now is what I'm thinking. And so as we're ascending right into the throne room and he's holding me and cradling me, and I could see this. So the Lord opened my spiritual eyes to see what he saw and what he was speaking out. That's 10 years ago. So don't think that what happened 10 years ago isn't what God wants to do right now. So when he laid me down and he laid me in front of Jesus, and Jesus came over very joyful, and he looked at me in total peace. All concern of losing his beloved wife, this man had instantly left. Peace and joy became his portion because he's in the presence of the authoritative one, the one who has the full authority, the one who has the authority to do what he's going to do. And he's trying to release the authority in us to do what we're supposed to do. That's what's happening here. So when he came over and he took his finger, Jesus himself took his finger and touched every organ. I don't even know how many there are. You guys can tell me. Every organ in my body, slowly, and they lit up, meaning there was a glow. There's white light, whatever. And he took his time, just as he took his time when I was created, formed in my mother's womb, but this didn't take 9 months. So he took his time, and he joyfully touched each organ. So the splitting headache that I, one of the things, the body pains I had was cerebral malaria. It's like I feel like my head's going to explode or whatever. That left instantly. And every organ in my body was touched by the King. Touched by the one that we sing to tonight. Touched by the one who has got COVID. Touched, who's got it under control. Okay? Touched by the one who understands everything. Touched by the one who says, I want you to encounter me. When you encounter me, you encounter ferocity. You encounter majesty. You encounter authenticity. You encounter authority. And things happen. And anything on our side that doesn't match up with that is on our side, not him. So I had that privilege. Do you think that changed my life? It changed my life. Forever. Forever. And I'll never stop speaking about it and never stop. And I pray that the faith that God deposited in me that day, let alone the year before, will continue to grow. And I pray that those who are listening will say, I want that kind of faith. I want great faith of Jesus. That's what I want. Because faith kills fear. Because fear attracts sickness and disease and everything else. It just does. It's like, whoa. She's intense. You bet I'm intense. I'm intensely in love with Jesus. And I'm intensely telling you what happened to me. And so when this encounter ended, there's probably more to it, but when this encounter ended, I fell asleep in my bug tent. And I woke up in the morning and got up, put on my clothes, walked out where the oatmeal was, ate with everyone, and then went to preach and teach at our Kingdom Bible School that day. So not only did death not win, but we took the spoils. And every time we go into a village now where there's malaria, guess what? The enemy goes down. So let me tell you now, if I can, about this. Whoa. Let's turn the lights off or whatever we're doing here. And is it ready, Stephanie? Andy Summers has a testimony. And most of you know it. Maybe not all of you. So I want you to watch this. And I said, Andy, can you give us something today? So he did. And we talked a little bit about, obviously, what I'm sharing with you about me encountering Jesus, because Andy was in that room. And Andy got to see what I experienced and what Pastor Bill prayed out, led us in. And I'm alive today because of it, because of our King Jesus. That was 10 years ago. And he's got a story, and he's got a testimony. Receive it for yourself. Receive this, beloved.
Hey, everybody. Andy Summers here. Just wanted to give you a quick update and testimony of what the Lord's been doing the last couple of days here. Just such an incredible time. And I just want to give him such glory and thanksgiving because he's so good. And he's the healer, and he's amazing and wonderful. And some of you guys know and some of you don't, but it's kind of like Friday evening and then early Saturday morning, definitely had some strong symptoms of COVID coming on. Had some headache and had a fever, some chills, some body pain, some soreness. You know, I woke up Saturday morning. It's like, ooh, this isn't good. I usually don't really get sick too often. This really came on strong. So I was like, you know, I think I'm going to get tested and find out what this is, you know. And so I went and did that, and turns out, yeah, it was COVID. And so, you know, just sitting there thinking about it, and I had let people know that, hey, we want to pray, you know, I'm facing this down, like, hey, let's go after this. And so later in the day, Pastor Mary Pat called, and she said she was prompted by the Lord to give me a call and to pray for me, you know, specifically. And as she did, she began to remind me of the encounter that I had back, and it wasn't necessarily me, but I was part of the encounter that she had back in 2010 when Pastor Bill and her, it was the second year, and for those who don't know, in 2009, they almost got killed by malaria, cerebral malaria. It's the most severe kind of malaria you can get in northern Ghana, where we have our land. And we were back in 2010. The Lord miraculously came in and delivered both of them in 2009. totally healed him, restored him. And so we're back there in 2010 contending. And so it came, and she was very sick one night, struggled with malaria. And as we were there, different Pastor Samuel and different other people, they had pictures and words that this is like life or death. We need to really step into the place and intercede and worship and see this break. And, you know, it was a very serious time. And as we were going through that, Pastor Bill heard from Jesus, take her. He said, bring her to me. Take Pastor Mary Pat to heaven. And so Pastor Bill began to do that in the spirit, began to pray that out, began to declare that. And there were some other people interceding, and I was the one as well, you know, one of the ones as well interceding. And what happened was, is that, you know, Pastor Bill took her into the throne room before Jesus, and there was Jesus, and he was completely full of joy, completely confident. And Pastor Bill, like, presented Pastor Mary Pat, laid him before him, was praying out, and as he was praying out, he saw Jesus go and take his finger very confidently and just begin to touch every single one of Pastor Mary Pat's organs. And just completely release peace, and there was such joy and harmony. Pastor Bill was praying this out, and as he was praying that out, I could just see it in the spirit as well, and was able to be there and see that transpire. And after the prayer, there was such peace in the room. The atmosphere changed. Everything shifted. It was like, yeah, Jesus got this. He came in. He came on the scene. He destroyed malaria. Pastor Mary Pat, she went to bed, woke up the next day, went out and taught at Kingdom Bible School, and it was just amazing. Just that quick, cool turnaround that the Lord did through that supernatural encounter. And so back here I am with, you know, COVID symptoms, having the positive COVID test, and she calls and reminds me of this testimony. And as she's re-imparting and sharing that with me, the Lord takes us to a counter where she begins to pray for me, takes me to this counter where I begin to rise into heaven. And in the same kind of way, there's Jesus, and I see this orb, this healing presence of the Lord. It just had all these flashing lights, and it was going around, and just remembering the testimony of how Jesus touched her. I just saw this orb come right into my body and just hit right into my chest. Then it kind of exploded out into my heart, and then it went in to, as I was praying out what I was seeing through this encounter Saturday night, supernaturally, it was just incredible. As I was praying this out, I just saw it then expanding and flowing out into my veins and everything else. And as it did that, I was just like, wow, Lord, thank you that you're releasing your power. You're releasing, you're touching me right now supernaturally. This is amazing. And just calling into remembrance that same encounter that healed and touched them, you know, back there in 2010. And it was just incredible. So, you know, ended that time of prayer, was thanking the Lord. Woke up the next morning, no fever. No chills, none of the, all the symptoms had just gone away. And if any kind of little pesky ones would come back here and there, it's like, oh no, I don't receive those in Jesus' name, because the Lord touched and empowered me and equipped me and healed me through that encounter. And that's what I'm just so thankful to the Lord. He was reminding me of not to forget his benefits, who forgives all of our sin, who heals all of our disease, Psalm 103:3. And, you know, it was just kind of also the Lord lovingly challenging me, reminding me of like, man, I could have stepped into that counter the a moment that I was experiencing those feelings, but the Lord's good. He's gracious. He makes up the difference. And so I just want to testify of the Lord's faithfulness and in his ability to use that testimony of what the Lord did in 2010. And then in the same way, you know, bring that right in to me and say, hey, I'm Lord over this whole corona thing. I got it all settled and under control. And as well, I was just so thankful for the spiritual family that we're in, that was as well, that the testimony was able to be shared. Because, you know, we're called to share each other's burdens and lift up each other's arms in the spirit and pray, stand and contend and fight against these things. And, you know, I felt so good today that I was literally out hanging Christmas lights, as you can see them going on in the background. So just wanted to give glory to the Lord and update you guys on that whole sweet thing. In Jesus' name.
That's really cool. Amen. What do you say to that? I was going to go all into numbers. I might do that later, but not right now. Thank you, Jesus. That's amazing. Father, we just thank you for that testimony. I've heard it, but I didn't hear him put this all together, Lord. See it. I just thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you, Father, for what you've done for Andy. And Father, I just thank you for what you've done for your own namesake. And Father, we choose to receive that for ourselves tonight. And we thank you, Father, that as we own who you are and what you're doing, Father, we step into possessing the land, possessing our promised land. So we thank you, Father, that in the areas and the times of confusion where we're not sure what to think and what to do and how to act, Lord, that we'll be reminded of the need for personal encounters with you that you have for us, Father, however they would be, and that we would connect with you and that we would know that we know that we know that what you've done for us is remarkable. So we thank you for this tonight, and we thank you, Father, that this increases our faith, increases the way that we do kingdom life. And Father, it's going to be met with lots of resistance because it's just weird sounding. But Father, it's the truth, and I'm the recipient of this personally, and all those who are around me 10 years ago, and also Andy, and all those who are receiving this by faith. So receive this in your own heart. Receive this in any areas where the Lord is desiring to make himself known, to be able to clarify how he views genuine faith and what it really is, not our opinion, not what we say, but Father, that he would, Father, that you would make it very clear to us of what faith looks like. So when you come back, you will find faith on this earth as you define it. Help us, Lord. Help us in these areas. Help us, Father. We just praise you that you are so good. And Father, that we will not minimize a supernatural testimony like this. And Father, you've reminded me even on Sunday when you spoke the words reset, that this is a time of resetting. This is a time where the Lord says, I will call you to a place of reset. Reset, reset, reset. So Father, thank you that you take us back to our roots and you take us back to what we first maybe believed as a baby believer even, that we would step into the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom and wherever anything has entered in to steal, kill, and destroy and water down what we used to be able to receive, believe, and stand for easily with contending. Father, you take us not only back there, but that you would supersede that and take us way beyond that in our area of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that. You're so gracious. Help us, Lord. Help us in that. Amen. I'm going to invite Lawrence to come up. But first, Ashley had a word she whispered over here to me. And then, Lawrence, if you could come up and lead us in communion. But in 2 Timothy 3:5, this was a verse that on Sunday the Lord highlighted to me as we were going through a little bit of 2 Timothy. And in chapter 3, verse 5, Timothy here, Paul is saying, rather, that it's very important to hold, to a form of godliness, but deny the power. It's very important because that comes right after the Lord just laid out in 2 Timothy difficult times that are coming. And so when we're roaring as a lion and we're roaring with the truth and the presence and the power of God, that the authenticity of our faith is going to rise. And we're going to be stepping into believing things and doing things that weren't easy to step into, believe, and do before. There's going to be a difference where there's been a strain before, like, I don't know, what if I'm wrong? The Lord's going to take that and remove it. He'll remove fear of man. He'll remove fear of failure. He'll remove fear of rejection. He'll remove any kind of fear that really masquerades as faith. He wants to remove that. And the best place we can be is contending with him and saying, I am here. I lay myself out before you, and you show me where any of that has existed before or is still existing. And I will hear it, and I will allow you, invite you, and allow you to bring me into a new place. And that's where faith is birthed, deeper faith, deeper understanding. So this chapter 3, verse 5 says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. What I believe that means, and you can come up, Ash, what I believe that means is that the Lord is saying, don't find yourself agreeing with what makes sense to your mind alone. It needs to be verified, it needs to be validated, and it needs to be clearly the leading, the movement, the voice, and the word, and the authenticity of the Spirit of God and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled. We're in a new season where the Lord is birthing new things. I believe in a larger scale, on a larger scale. I pray that you remember the testimony that I'm giving, or I gave tonight, that Andy echoed a lot of it. It touched him and reminded him. And let me tell you, I was telling PB this tonight, that as I had prayed with Andy, and again, he had had prayer throughout the day, and I said goodbye to him, and I didn't think about that. And I was literally on my way to the bathroom, as I was telling my husband, and I heard the voice of the Lord. I stopped, and he said, go back right now and call him and give him this testimony. Open your mouth, and I'm going to tell you what to do. And I literally went like this, and I turned around, and I started walking back and picked up my phone. And that was how this encounter was birthed. I had no idea what God was going to do, but that's what he decided to do. And that's for us, beloved. That's for me, too. So when I share what he's done in my life, it's not old hat. It is still alive, and it holds as much weight with the person, the nature of Jesus, as this. And then the Lord wants to build on top of that for your children to do these things. Just a few weeks ago, we have three of our little guys come up and give visions. Come on. One had peace. Was it peace, joy, and love in raindrops? And that peace really signifies, along with the joy, the authority of Jesus Christ reigning on us. That's what the Lord wants, not just for little Noah who gave this, but for all of us. Really a big deal. And then when our little Gabriel came up and he gave a word, a vision that he had, this is all in this room a few weeks ago, little people, age 5, 6, and 7. So when Gabriel came up, the 6-year-old, he came up and he saw two eyes he had seen. And those two eyes, one was an eye of fire, and the other one was an eye of not so good fire. It's like, which one will you take? Where will you stand? Where will you believe? Where will you draw the line? He doesn't realize that that's about the discerning of spirits. He doesn't know yet the fullness of what God's calling him into. And then little Elijah, age 5, Troy shared what he had seen, because he told his dad. He said, I just saw a picture of a little boy, Jesus coming over and touching him and raising him from the dead. Do you think that ties in with tonight? I absolutely do. Out of the mouths of babes. Because you know what? Those with a pure heart, they will easily receive and easily believe, unlike us sometimes. So, beloved, 2 Peter 3:5, don't deny, meaning embrace fully the power of the risen Savior in everything he really wants to accomplish on this earth. And he wants to touch you, use you, set you free, and he wants to release this to our little people, young people. And I believe he already is. He's waiting for adults to catch up. So it's time to lay down anything that perhaps could have a scent or a stink of anything that looks like godliness, but it is not. It would grieve the Spirit of God, even though we think it's godly. Put it before the Lord and let him speak and lead us in that. I'm the first one to want to do that. Does anybody want to join me? 2 Peter 3:5, that I will never, ever, by your power, in Jesus' name, deny what you really say can be. Nothing is impossible with you, and I want to stand for that. What did I say? Oh, I said 2 Timothy. Thank you, babe. 2 Timothy 3:5. I spoke 2 Peter. I meant 2 Timothy. Thank you. Amen. So we declare that over everyone who's watching, and we declare that over everyone who is here tonight in Jesus' name. And then Ash had a word that God gave her.
You can give that, and then Lawrence can give that. Yes, yeah, so the verse that came to me during worship was Romans 5:1-5. And in the Passion Translation, it says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope and experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop us in patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And so just recognizing how much we can, through our faith, we can step into so much more that the Lord has for us. He goes through this list of all this, all these things that we can have, like a patient endurance and character and hope, because of Holy Spirit is in us. And another time that he goes through a list like this is in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1. And it talks about, in verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so it's really encouraging to me to read these verses because it literally gives us lists of things that we can do. They're very, like, concrete things that we can understand, and it's not quite as abstract as some other things are in the Word. And so just recognizing, like, how to continue to step in and be willing to have that faith and not to allow, like, the stones to be the ones that are keeping us in the grave and not staying there, but being willing to take that step out when Jesus calls us out of the grave, to go out and say, "I'm not dead anymore because I'm alive." And to continue just to step into what he's calling us to, because there can be small things that'll come up where we feel like we can't step forward, we can't keep going forward. But the Lord's telling us, like, "I'm not done in you. I'm not done on this earth. So keep stepping forward with me," because he's going to keep bringing us forward into more. And all of this comes with a true and lasting peace with God. Like, it's not being done in strife or fear or striving. It's all done in peace because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already completed the victory. We already know the end of the story. He's won. And so because we're with him, we can continue to step into him within that, and keep moving forward. So, Lord God, I just thank you so much that we have this great faith in you, Lord God, and this great opportunity to continue to step into knowing more of who you are and what you have for us here on this earth, Lord God. We just thank you that you have the victory, Lord, and we can stand with you in that. And nothing can come against us because you are the victor and you are our deliverer, Lord God. And just thank you for that, Jesus. And I just thank you that you will just continue to teach us what our faith guarantees us, Lord God, that it guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What a joy, Lord God. I just pray that we can continue to step into the joy that in you, Lord, in knowing we have this perfect relationship with you, Jesus, because you died on the cross and because you rose again, we can stand with you. Help us to continue just to step out in faith and knowing that we can walk out of the grave because you're calling us. Let us not stay in the grave even when we hear your voice, but step out and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm alive. I'm here. What do you have?" And it's all for your glory, Lord. It's all for your glory. We just thank you, Lord.
Why didn't somebody just give her the cup and she could have said, This is communion. That was really good. Amen. I want to share a testimony as a part of communion tonight. I got a phone call. This is a testimony in progress, and I got permission to share this. I got a phone call. It was Sunday night going into Monday morning. It was about 1:30 in the morning. I was sleeping. Yeah. I got a phone call, and it was somebody that I hadn't spoken to in a while, somebody I used to work with. And you get a phone call like that at 1:30 in the morning, you tend to answer it. And he was in a pretty dark spot, and he said, my wife's been in ICU for 2 weeks. She's on a respirator with COVID. And so I prayed with him and just tried to encourage him, but really wanted to kind of root him in prayer. And so prayed for him. He shared a little bit more and then hung up, and Cynthia and I continued to pray. And then at work yesterday, it was about 3:30, I got another phone call from him, and he said, Lawrence, would you be able to do a funeral? And I had done one for another family member that he lost years ago, and I said, did she pass away? He goes, no, the doctors are saying probably Wednesday. I said, I want to continue to contend. I want to stand with you. I said, I don't know what the policies are with COVID as far as availability, but I want to continue to stand and pray with you for that. That was at 3:30. From there, I left work and I had to run an errand. And at 5:30, he called again, and I thought, this is it. This is, like, he wasn't supposed to call me for another day or two. He said, I'll call you when I have something, and he called me 2 hours later. And I answered, and he said, Lawrence, I just wanted to let you know, I'm sorry about that call 2 hours ago. He said, I talked to another doctor. They said it's not nearly as bad as what we thought, and I'm fighting for her. And I talked to him for like another 30 minutes, and I said, you know, we're praying, we're contending, we're standing. And I got in the car, so I was at this one spot. I got in the car and I lost it. Like, it was my favorite spot to be too, because I don't have to worry about anybody around me. I was out in the middle of nowhere. I was in my car and I just went nuts. Like, I was like, I don't care what doctor said anything. I know that was Jesus right there. Totally shifted everything. So as we're pulling up here, he calls again. And he says, the plan is to take her off the ventilator Friday. And I said, so you're telling me to go from like Monday, early Monday morning, like she's on her deathbed, she's going to die Wednesday, to we're taking her off the ventilator on Friday. And I was like, you cannot tell me that Jesus was not involved in that moment. I don't care. Like, I'm grateful for the doctors and all that they do and the way that they serve, but you can't tell me that a doctor shifted that much in a matter of hours. And I'm just like, I'm standing there blown away at the goodness of God. And so I was just in the parking lot before I came in here, and I shared this verse with him. And I said, this is how I want you to approach this. And it's 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's the end of the chapter. I said, I want you to read the whole chapter because I want you to know how God loves you, how God loves your wife, and how he wants you to be able to supernaturally love your wife. I said, but it ends with this. It says, three things will last. This is the New Living Translation. It says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Those are three things that we were created to be anchored to. And so as we step into communion tonight, I want to anchor our souls back to that place. Because no matter what's happening in our circumstances, no matter what report we're given, there is an anchor that causes us to hold on to faith, hope, and love. And those things will last forever. Like, we are as believers, we're created to stand in faith, expecting something better. We are supposed to hold on to hope, and we're supposed to love people through those situations. And so tonight, as we take communion, that's the very thing that Jesus created for the disciples and what we are intended to stand in with communion. That as we take the body and the blood of Christ, we are reminded. It says, do this in remembrance of me. Always remember that you were created to stand in faith, hope, and love. And none of those things need to be washed away. That I don't care what report you're given on this earth, that if we stand in faith, hope, and love, we're going to see victory on earth and in heaven. And so, Lord, tonight, we step into that. Father God, we take this body, we take this blood, and we remember, Father, we remember what you did at the cross. We remember the stripes that you took for our healing. And we remember that 3 days later, you broke the power of death and rose again. Father, that we are to walk in resurrection power. And Lord, that's what you're drawing us to. Not just the sacrifice, but the victory in resurrection. And so, Lord, anchor us to that truth. We do that in remembrance of you. We take the body and we take the blood and we give thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then there's one more thing I want to release real quick. While we were in worship, I had a picture of, I don't know who it was, but somebody was praying, and there was a row of a family, and they were praying for the power of God into these people and praying for deliverance. And it started with the father of the family and prayed for deliverance, and then you could see the manifestation, and then you saw the spirit jump to the mother. And then the person moved and prayed for the mother. And you see the spirit moving, and then it jumped to the grandmother. And you could see the spirit, like, every time there was prayer, the spirit would just kind of jump to the next family member. And it got to the place where you could see that it was running out of family members to attach to itself. And so as they continued to pray, it just ran out of space. It ran out of room. And so it sent a deliverance through the entire family line. But in every attempt of deliverance, the spirit would jump to another family member. And what I believe that the Lord wants to release tonight is that if you and your family, or you have family members that are struggling with, there's a cycle of something happening, whether it's COVID, whether it's fear, whether it's some other sickness, but you're seeing that line go through the family member, I want to encourage you, Jesus is going to deliver every single one of them. That he is going to bring healing, that he is going to bring resurrection power, he's going to bring deliverance. And so, Father, I just want to stand in this place and break off every generational curse that would come against entire family lines. Father God, that the blood of Jesus ran freely so that generations would walk in blessings, generations would walk in healing, that generations would walk in deliverance, Father. So we cut that attack off, Father, and declare in the name of Jesus that the enemy is running out of room, that we're cutting it off right now, and that sickness, that disease, that fear that has ran rampant through family members is being broken off. And these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. And it will rise up and push out every attempt of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. Two things. Back in 2010, if I remember correctly, Lawrence and Andy, who is listening and watching, hi, Andy, they were walking around our camp, and they were seeing all kinds of crazy things, similar to what he was talking about. That's what I was. It was a report given to me because I wasn't doing that. They were walking around, and they were warring, and they were interceding, and they were not quitting, and they were not giving up, and they were seeing ridiculous things, which we don't need to mention. But they were watchmen on the walls. They were soldiers, and that God opened their spiritual eyes to see some form of the attack that was going on, that was visually able to be received. Am I right on this? Okay, anything you want to say about it? Nope. Okay. So these two, you know, Lawrence, here he is praying out deliverance, a generational deliverance, which is amazing. And Andy, you heard his testimony. You see, the Lord is, he's maturing people. He's taking us where we are, and he's saying, I've got this for you as well. It's not just Lawrence or Andy or somebody singing something out or Jamie. It's going to be all of us. The Lord is saying, I'm doing this in this season. Just present yourself to me and watch what I will do and step in. And don't listen to man. Don't listen to man or fear will hold you. Listen to the Spirit of God. And if you're not listening to the Spirit of God, he will do anything that he wants to get your attention so that you will see that, because that's him. That's the first thing. The second thing that came to me, Lawrence, is with this lovely gal. I have a very personal interest, not knowing who this is, because I was on a respirator in 2009 for quite some time. It's not an easy thing. So every time I hear about that, especially in the COVID season, it just grips my heart because I know the suffering behind that. I know what it's like to go day after day. Okay, the one thing that was said about me that they told me was that we had never seen anybody like you because you were so peaceful. I said, oh, that's the peace from the Lord inside, because it's a rough thing when you're on a respirator. So what I want to do is pray out that, I'm not okay hearing they're going to pull the tubes out on Friday. It's like, who says so? What if she's touched by Jesus right now in our prayer, and then everything changes? That's what happened to me. Many of you were warring for my life. It got really funky, hard. It was like, oh my goodness. And then Jesus came in the room and gave me new lungs and changed everything. I had a suddenly, and my beloved, who was healed enough to come out of the hospital at that time, came here in this very place and was leading, as a papa would, leading the war cry to save the life of his wife with a suddenly. So not only did I get new lungs, did all my scores change. This is in your lungs. You're on a respirator because you can't breathe on your own, right? But there was a little square or triangle. I don't know. That's what they told me. Square, thank you. That was in my lungs that was not darkened and blackened by the disease that came against me. The Lord said, no, not on my watch. That one will live. And watch what I do. So there was a suddenly from 2009. I want to pray that out for this beloved gal, so that when the new respiratory therapist comes in tomorrow morning, or wherever they do it, wherever she is, they're going to say, huh, what happened to you? Wait a minute, those charts have changed. We got to do something here. They came to me, the respiratory therapist, and said, do you scuba dive? I can't even talk. I was like, oh. No, I don't scuba dive yet fully, but I will, just in pools. But anyway, she says, you have the lungs of a scuba diver. What? Do you know what that means? Tell them what that means. You're a scuba diver.
Yes.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Swimmers and scuba divers have a very good lung capacity, so it's better than average. Way better than average, because I'm a scuba diver, so.
That's good news. All right, so I don't know this. Can we pray her name out, or I don't know. You can pray, and I'll add my voice, because let me tell you something. The doctors will love to come in and pull those tubes out, and she'll be free. We don't have to wait till Friday. What is this?
And amen. So one thing that and again, I had permission to share all this, but there's still a lot of natural reports that say pull it out Friday, but it's going to be a very long recovery process. And I told him, I said, John, I said, I'm not believing for that. Like, we've seen a drastic shift in hours, so let's contend for more. And so, yes, before Friday and a quick recovery. And Lord, we thank you for the power of testimony in this house, Lord, and we just want to go from glory to glory to glory. So we stand on the foundation of that testimony, Lord, and say, do it again. Do it again, Lord, that there would be a full and speedy recovery, that the doctors would have something to declare even tomorrow as they check on her, Father. So we just speak life. Her name's Polly. We speak life over Polly. We thank you, Lord, for the plans and the destiny that you have for her life and for that household to be brought into the family of God, to see the salvation power of Jesus working through them. So we speak life over Polly and ask for a quick recovery in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. And I add my voice because I went through it as I did in 2009, and I shared it, or 2010, 9 and 10, with Andy. And from that point on, the Lord said, share this with him. Watch what I do. So, Father, we receive what Lauren said and imparted. But Father, also from going through this, in Jesus' name, you have given me great, great anointing and authority for this. So we release that power right now in Jesus' name, in her lungs, in every organ in her body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We call you free, Polly. We call every organ touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call the doctors to see this and to do something about it now in Jesus' name. And that you will experience what I did, which was no problem, nothing at all, that they said would be something that would stay with me for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. And I thank you. You did it for me. Do it for Polly. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it done and sealed because of you, Jesus. Windows of heaven, suddenly for this precious gal. And Polly, someday you'll be able to watch this video, and I can't wait to meet you because you'll be up on this stage sharing what the doctors are going, what happened here, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That is good. Woo-wee! Rachel has something.
I saw a picture during worship that I believe is for Polly and all of us for many things, but I just saw a book that represented the authorities and, you know, worldly wisdom. And I just saw the book laid out open, and then I saw the hand of Jesus with the nail hole in it just come down on top of the book. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the authority, Father God, over man's decrees, Father God, over man's wisdom, Father God, over man's authority, Father, Lord, that you are over you are over all, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you have your hand upon that book, Father. You have your hand upon the decree, Father, for this woman that we're praying for, Lord God, for her situation, Lord, and every situation represented in this room, Father. Lord, that you are over all, Father. And we just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. That's a good day. And I have a word, too. We don't even need this thing. Somewhere, thank you. What came to me is that there have been those who are watching and in this room who have suffered much loss. And I mentioned at the beginning tonight that I personally, I don't even know how many years ago now, but on this date, my entire life and family, everything changed and was shifted. And it was a great, great loss at that time. This was the date. And there are others in here who have experienced loss of loved ones that you have stood for, you have contended for, and they have gone home to glory, or it didn't happen the way you hoped it would happen. But I believe tonight that the Lord is restoring even deeper the roar in your life. And this is evidenced through Lawrence, who has experienced great loss in his life, and Cynthia as well, of loved ones in recent years. And also Sammy, who experienced the homegoing of his beloved wife in October. Hope you don't mind me saying that. But we are going to stand for anyone else who has experienced loss in the heart. It's like, whoa. And the Lord says, not only am I going to restore to you what the enemy has stolen, although our loved ones are with Jesus, perhaps, and we know that's true for this group here. But I believe that he's doing something in anointing. So what came to me is that when Lawrence was standing up here, that there was a new anointing for you to release healing and deliverance, that there was an increase for you in the anointing that you have been contending for however long. But the Lord says, I have done that in you, son. Keep standing up in boldness and power, no matter what you haven't seen or you thought you haven't seen, that stand in that boldness and power, and many more people will come into that same kind of healing and deliverance. I believe that word is for you. And I release that over everyone that I'm speaking about tonight. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you are increasing our faith, increasing the anointing. There's an increase tonight on every front because of you and your faithfulness. We give you the glory, and we call out the major healing revival and the awakening all across the world, God. And we thank you that we will be part of that, are part of that, because we will not step back. And we will decree and declare and stand on the fullness of your promises for this very time, but also for our country. And Father, 1 week ago tonight, we thought we may have a president and we'd be cheering. And Father, we believe that we do, and we will be cheering, but we're cheering because it's not finished. And we know that you're still moving, and we are not shy to declare and decree that the full promises and the full plan that you have for President Trump shall be realized on our watch. And we thank you, Father, that you're raising up an army that's not afraid to declare that. And we are not. So we thank you, Lord, for righteousness stands. And we call it out for our nation. We call it out in all the areas of our government. And we say, thank you, Lord, for bringing us to a place where we will not stop and we will not shrink back, and that we will actively go forward and declare what you have said. And we will not be quiet like little church mice. No, we will stand for what you have said can be our portion in this land. So we call that out for this country, for this nation, and for our beloved president and first lady and everything else that surrounds them in their life. We call it out. And we call out that you have been exposing all corruption and anything that is wicked and evil, and that you will have the final word. So we thank you for that, Father, as we rest, as we trust, but as we actively intercede and we say, this is our time, this is our season, we give you the praise for that, and we thank you in courage, in confidence, and in boldness, in Jesus' mighty name, because of your blood. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it 9 o'clock? I don't even know. Is it 4 minutes? Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I think Cynthia may have some announcements after we switch over. But God bless you all for watching and listening. So be encouraged tonight, and we will see you 10:30 on Sunday. Amen. God bless you all. Share this video so people can be encouraged and increased in Jesus' name. And we also have healing rooms, I think, don't we, Richie? This week at 7 o'clock to 8:30 here. So if you need healing in your body, please come in Jesus' name on Friday. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Good night.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.